Okay, the meeting is called to order. We have three items on the agenda. The first item is file number 100136. This is an ordinance relating to zoning regulations for businesses that buy, use jewelry or gold. The sponsors are Alderman Bowe and Alderman Wilkowski. Alderman, would you like to address the committee?
Afternoon. What this ordinance is an attempt to codify the administrative determination that was made by City Development that establishes cash for gold type stores as secondhand stores, which in effect is what they're doing, is they're buying and used jewelry, and in most cases selling it, offering it for sale. So this is just an attempt to codify it.
Go ahead.
I'm pretty familiar with this, and I'm prepared to make a motion unless you have some comments.
Yeah, I mean, there are a couple of issues that have to be addressed on this. First, Alderman, is that how most of these stores operate? My understanding was that many of them did not resell the jewelry that was purchased by them, but rather sent it off to be melted or refined and recast into a new product.
Most of them offer some of it for sale. They all don't send them off to be melted down. No.
So it's kind of a mix,
yes,
on that sense. Okay. Because if they weren't reselling the same jewelry that came into the store, it would not be a secondhand store, at least in the practical sense. It would be something different. Because a secondhand store resells the products that come in, like a clothing store, or even pawn shops are sort of a kind of secondhand store. You can, of course, expand the definition in the zoning code to encompass things that are somewhat related to secondhand stores but might not precisely fit the model. But in order to do that, you'd need to amend that definition and have a basis for it. This brings up there are two other issues I did want to raise on this. Go ahead.
May I respond to the first?
Sure.
First, it's
sure.
From the reading of the state statute, precious gem and jewel dealers dealing secondhand are all in the same category with pawn shops.
That's fine. If as a practical matter, you can establish that to be a fact, in other words, that the types of establishments that you want to regulate actually operate in that manner, then it's fine.
Our current definition for secondhand store does include pawn shop.
Right. But you see, the difference is that if this jewelry store or establishment, cash for gold establishment or whatever, is not selling the product that's coming into it, it's not really a secondhand store unless you define it as such. And I'm not sure that you've done that successfully, but it can be done. There's no legal problem doing it.
So the wording, I read this wording to mean that we were defining it as such.
Well, again, you know, what you're doing is you're applying a label that doesn't quite fit. It sort of fits, but it doesn't quite fit. You can if you have a record to support it. Yes, you can.
I mean, a rationale to why we're doing it.
Yes.
The Alderman, I think, talked at length.
Yeah. The other thing is, and this is related to the broader legislation, you have to have a record for this. Just like with any police power measure, you've got to provide a rational basis in case somebody challenges this as arbitrary or capricious. That's true of any police power enactment. It's true just about anything that comes before this committee. I just wanted to remind the Alderman of that. We went through this recently with payday loans. I had Alderman Davis in front of me, and I explained you got to have a record. He came up with a great record, studies indicating the need for the legislation, etc. recently Alderman Kovac went through the same process with the River District that was just approved. Again, something you could do, but you've got to illustrate why you're doing it, how it relates to a governmental objective that's legitimate. And I would suggest that that has to be employed here. We can't just do this because we think it's a good idea or because we don't like this business. That's true of any zoning enactment. The other thing I wanted to bring up, and this is the last issue, is the effect of this is to make zoning much more restrictive for this type of establishment as compared to a general retail establishment, which is probably what it is now under the code. I have the use tables here, and it indicates that whereas a general retail establishment is permitted in many zoning districts within the city, and is a limited use, which is a kind of permitted use in many others, a secondhand dealer is banned in much of the city. It's a prohibited use. It's a special use in other parts of the city, including all commercial districts and a few others. It's a permitted use in only one type of downtown zoning district. So it's much harder to get zoning for a secondhand store as compared to a general retail establishment. You can do that if you have a rational basis for it, if you have a record to support a differential zoning classification for this type of business. But you've got to have real evidence to support it. That's what a record is. It can't be just conclusory. It can't be because you don't like the business or because you speculate it's got problems, but you don't have evidence to back it up. But if you can make that demonstration, it can be done. One issue that I have with the way this is drafted is that the definition encompasses jewelry stores and other establishments that do this as a sideline. In other words, places that aren't primarily in the cash for gold business, you'd be rendering a lot of jewelry stores non-conforming uses under the current wording. And I don't know whether this has come up in any of the deliberations up till now, but my thought was you really meant to apply it to cash for gold type businesses that did that as their primary business or majority business, not something that is done by Kessler's or Paul's Jewelers as a convenience to customers who are established and who are buying new jewelry as well. Those are the issues I see. I thought I'd just get them all out there. I think you can do this, but it does take some work to make sure that you're not going to run into a legal challenge that will succeed.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
At licensing committee, we did bring in the Milwaukee Police Department. We brought in Greenfield Police Department for a hearing on one license. And basically, in Milwaukee, the Milwaukee Police Department made arrests at four jewelers, Cash for Gold. Cash for Gold I'm using as a generic name.
Sure.
For the industry, but it did include jewelers. The results were arrests that resulted in burglaries going down. The problem is affecting health and safety of neighborhoods, the current gold rush. The Greenfield detective testified that his working with jewelry stores there, they had also determined a direct link between home burglaries and the cash for gold or jewelry buying business. And they dealt with reputable dealers, Robert Hack and a number of them that are around or in Southridge. As far as people burglarizing and taking their jewelry, taking the jewelry they've come up with to a jeweler or a cash for gold outlet, is pretty much the same effect on the neighborhood. There is a lot of burglaries related to this business. So from my perspective and Alderman Bolt's perspective, this does have a relationship to the health and safety of the neighborhood. We're also looking with, in a separate group with DCD, as to whether groupings of certain businesses present a problem that'll bring down the value of the neighborhood. Maybe I'm going too far afield on this one, Ed, but.
I'm just beginning to study that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean.
There's some time, maybe not today.
This business does, these businesses oftentimes operate like a pawn shop, basically giving you money if your stuff hasn't been sold, you can buy it back within a certain amount of time. They're supposed to be holding the stuff under state law.
If this is evidence that's in writing, if there are articles, reports, anything like that, that's part of a record. The committee, ZND, and the council ought to be considering these things, and that these things should be made part of the file. There may be studies from other cities. We often resort to that in order to build a legislative record. Basically, the more you put in, the better off you are.
So what you're advising then is at the time that this gets to committee, we enter those studies as part of the file?
Or before, at some point between now and then. So that you can claim that the committee has seen them. I'd look at things from other cities, especially if you have other cities that have deemed these to be akin to pawn shops and have applied a similar regulatory structure to them. I would urge careful thought, though, about whether a differentiation ought to be made between primary business cash for gold and incidental business cash for gold establishments, whether they ought to be treated the same. It seems to me that you might be passing something that has an undue impact on places that don't do this as a major part of their business but are primarily in new jewelry sales or other businesses. But I can't say you can't do it. All you have to have is a basis for doing what you want to do.
And let me say I have not seen any great influx of anything related to jewelry stores going in the city of Milwaukee. Cash for gold, yes, but not
the jewelry
stores.
Market movements have all been gold related. That's probably why. what I will do is I'll make a motion that this be approved subject to a review of the legislative record. Because we get another chance to look at it after it's passed committee, but before it goes to the full council, to see whether there's enough of a rational basis in the record to sustain whatever is passed. But with that caveat, I'll move to approve.
Yes, but we can't hold it in committee, though. I mean, under current ordinance, we have to make a motion to forward it to.
I'm forwarding it. I'm making that motion.
I'm just saying that we're not going to see it again.
Oh, no, but we're going to see it again, meaning our office, city attorney's office, is going to see it again.
Okay.
We want to make sure that, number one, we don't interfere with the legislative process if there's no grounds to do it. And number two, that whatever the product of that process is will pass a court challenge if one is mounted. And what I'm trying to do is illustrate what I think is needed in order to get over that threshold. So, I mean, with that caveat, I would move approval of this item.
I'll second that.
Okay. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, the motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, the second item is file number 100274. Which is an ordinance relating to design standards for transmission towers. And this request came from the city attorney's office.
I move approval. It didn't come from me, but it's fine. Who'd it come from, Gartner or?
Greg Agopian.
Agopian, it's fine.
It meets the intent when we did the city's tower policy back in the mid 1990s was to encourage co-location. I mean, power policy prior to this conference applied at that time. So this basically clarifies the ordinance, and I second Steve's motion.
Yeah, no, it made sense to me.
Okay, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye opposed. The motion carries. Okay, the last item is file number 100247, an ordinance adopting the citywide policy plan and 13 area comprehensive plans as the city's comprehensive plan. And this was requested by Department of City Development.
It's my understanding that we have to, in effect, put this into the zoning code that we are meeting the smart growth standards of state legislation. So I recommend approval.
Ed, what's the citywide policy plan? I've never heard that term.
We have, when we did our comprehensive plan, we did maybe 10 neighborhood plans or some similar number. And then we also have a document that covers the entire city. So, and that's the citywide plan.
This is sort of like a preface to all these.
Frankly, it's the one plan I haven't read yet.
Oh.
But it's designed to have some general policies kind of citywide.
Is this going to be bound up in one document?
It should already be on our department's website, and there are printed copies around as there are for the other plans.
I'm talking about the entire one, including the policy plan and the 13 area plans.
I know the area plans are on the website. I'm almost certain the citywide plan is also on our website.
But I'm not talking about as individual documents. I'm talking about as one document entitled Comprehensive Plan.
No.
Do you intend to do that?
Wouldn't have to go to the gym if I had to carry that much weight around. They're all kind of tied by ordinance and whatnot. It's just like getting an encyclopedia set where you have different volumes.
Well, here's why I say that. The term citywide comprehensive plan is really a term of art. And it appears in a number of places throughout the code. One that I remember off the top of my head is that consistency with the comprehensive plan is one of the four elements for approval of a special use permit. If we're going to observe our ordinances, I think it's imperative that we and anybody else be able to find this comprehensive plan as such. And I'm suggesting that somewhere it ought to be made available, titled as such, so that people know what the comprehensive plan is.
When you go to our website, we have the main document is there, and then we have listing all the other plans there. So again, if you're coming to the website, you see this all in one place. You click on a different icon for each plan.
No, but will they recognize it as a component of the comprehensive plan? Because if you see Northwest Side Plan, you don't know that that's part of the comprehensive plan right away.
Do you? I don't know if you are online.
I can't go online
there. Let's see what it looks like.
Our website has a link. When you're looking at the criteria, it says find the comprehensive plan for your area to see if you're consistent with the comprehensive plan.
I'm trying to make sure that this is readily comprehensible by the uninitiated user.
Right.
They don't know our system. They see this criterion. It says consistency with a comprehensive plan. They're thinking, what the hell is this?
Right.
You know, so I want to make sure that that's apparent to whoever has to deal with a BOZA or any part of the code.
Here we have citywide plan. I'll click onto that.
You have Milwaukee Comprehensive Plan here.
Yeah, we have. That's kind of the letterhead of all of our.
That's what I'm saying. And, you know, you have something titled in those words, and then you can break it down within the web page. How do you get to that page?
It's www.mkedcd.org.
Well, planning and permits.
We have citywide plans, what I clicked on here. Plans and studies.
Yeah. Was this citywide plan and more comprehensive?
Instead of saying citywide.
Citywide comprehensive.
Is there all that? When you go to this link right here, again, it has a listing of all the plans right there.
No, I just changed the title of the link. That's easy.
And our website links to that website.
Yeah.
So.
With that, that was my only question about this move approval.
Okay, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, the motion carries. Meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Yeah.
Make sure you all, make sure you